We began last Wednesday night a message talking about unity, and I looked up at the clock. I think it was about 10 minutes to 8. I was only about halfway through, and I just didn't feel like it was good to just rush through real quick, because I believe God has something here that'll be a blessing for us, and hopefully tonight the Lord can help us finish up the message this evening. The psalmist David, we talked about last week, it's a song of degrees, a song that no doubt they sang many times, excuse me, as they traveled up to Jerusalem. And for the feast, there was three different major feasts each year. And Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Passover. And I thought about, as we study tonight the Word of God, I thought about how familiar the children of Israel were. You and I are not nearly as familiar with what's being said in these three verses as they were. It was commonplace for them. In other words, when they talked about the precious ointment upon the head, how that Aaron and his sons were anointed for the priesthood. Well, as they were singing, they understood the truths. They understood the, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess they understood, for lack of a better word, there's a better word, the practices and the culture. That's the word I was looking for. They understood the culture and the ways of God among the people of God. And so, if we're not careful, we read over these verses and verses like them. And I hope that God has wet your whistle a little bit. He's wet mine to study some of these Psalms of degrees that they were singing as they went up to Jerusalem. But in Psalm 133, he said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And then David said, "It is like." I think it's good to know what something's like, don't you? Jesus would use parables to paint pictures. And so the psalmist is trying to paint a picture tonight, what it's like when the brethren dwell together in unity. He said it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And then, I'm not changing the Bible, he said, as the dew of Hermon. So you could start again and say it is like the dew of Hermon. I'm not doing an injustice of the Bible. He's just continuing the thought. Not only is it like the precious ointment upon the head, but it's like the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Three short little verses, but I tell you the meaning is so wonderful when you begin to dig into them. Pray with me, please, and pray for me tonight. Father in heaven, I learned a long time ago, God, that if we'll trust you, you'll help us. We're trusting you tonight, Lord, to help us, that we might be a help to your precious people. Lord, everyone here tonight that's saved by the grace of God was bought with a price. It was a precious price. And Lord, the unity that we enjoy tonight was bought with a price. Lord, it's not some movie star that brought us together, not some Lord singer, famous singer that brought us together, not even a nation, Lord, that brought us together, but it's an old rugged cross that brought us together tonight with this group of people. It's a Bible, Lord, that's trustworthy. It's a Bible, Lord, not only that we read, but it's a Bible that reads us. It's a Bible, Lord, that's alive and well. It's a Bible God that has the answers for every generation. Lord, we look to it tonight. Ask you to teach us something from your word. May we leave here tonight, Lord, even more determined than ever to guard the unity in our home, to guard the unity, our Father, in our hearts, and to guard that unity in the house of God. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you tonight for being here. We began last week on Wednesday night talking about these Psalms of Degrees, and this one here in particular talking about unity. And we just simply said, first of all, there's something here to see when you look at the word behold. And we know that truth is backed up in Scripture. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, when you have love one toward another. I'll come across a verse later in the message tonight. Let me see if I can find it here, maybe. Oh, it's in 1 John. I'll come across it again a little bit later, but in 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Y'all believe that? I believe when a person's born again, it cannot be outside that person believing and trusting that Jesus is the Christ. And that's more than just a name. That's talking about a virgin birth and conception. That's talking about a sinless life. That's talking about a vicarious death. That's talking about a glorious resurrection on that third day. And that's talking about a Savior that's coming again. And so the Bible said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now watch this. And everyone that loveth him that begot. Listen to me. This is what he's saying. It's God that begot us by the word of truth. Amen. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible said, everyone that loveth him that is that begot, the one that is our heavenly Father, loveth him also that is begotten of him. In other words, when love goes this way, it also goes this way. Amen. It always works that way. You can act like you love him, act like you love people, but when it's real, beloved, you can't choose between the two. If God so loved us, the Bible said we ought also to love one another. I'll be honest with you tonight. That's not hard for me to do. Say amen. I don't have to work that up. That's something he put in my heart years ago. That's why even brothers and sisters down through the years that have hurt me deeply, I carry nothing in my heart against them. I carry no bitterness whatsoever against them. I wish them the best and many times have prayed for them. Amen. I do realize that everybody that takes on the name Christian is not a Christian. I do realize that everybody who goes to church regular is not a Christian. I do realize there are people that know the Bible better than I do that are not Christians. I realize that in pulpits across America, there are many men, and I have to say this, and women, that have never been born again. The devil don't care if you're religious. He don't care if I'm religious. And I'll tell you, Jesus, let's see, if I get this right, find out where it is. It was 1 John. They went out from us. That's what John said. They were not all of us. Therefore, they went out from us. Because, beloved, some people have never been born again to start with. But my point tonight was this, in this unity, it's not something you do or I do. It's something he does. And I'm telling you, he does a good job at it. Amen. He puts it in our hearts. And so tonight there's something to see. The world's watching and the world can see. And then the second point in the message, I'm not trying to re-preach last Wednesday night, just giving you a little recap, so to speak. But the second point was there's something to strive for. It's important. Jesus prayed for it. And beloved, it's something that we ought to guard, and it's something that we ought to strive. The Word of God said, keep the unity. Amen? In the bond of peace. God gives it to us. He wants us to try our best to keep that spirit of unity. Now, tonight, not only is there something to see in the text and something to strive for in the text, but there's something to smell in the text. The Word of God said it is like the precious ointment upon the head. I'm not sure tonight, but what I've been able to research and study, I'm not sure that if Aaron anointed the way he was anointed in the Bible, it's poured on his head, it's run down his beard, it's run down all the way to the skirts of his garments. I'm not sure tonight that if Aaron were to walk through those doors back there and just start down the aisle, but what it wouldn't just be just a moment and the whole auditorium would be permeated with the odor of that ointment. The children of Israel knew this. They knew it was precious ointment. And the Bible teaches us here, beloved, that it was something that gave off an odor. You say, well, Pastor, what's that got to do with the church? The Bible said we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? The Bible said in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as God, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I can't help it. I wasn't planning on saying this, but some of you need to smile tonight. Amen. I was studying this afternoon. It's about 3 o'clock. And I don't know where it come from, but there was a commercial come back to my mind. It said, you smell good. Anybody remember that? I don't even know what soap it was or shampoo it was. But the little jingle come back to my mind. You know what I hope tonight? That we have a Father looking down from heaven and says, you smell good. Amen. The Bible teaching us in these verses that we have the capacity to be a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of our God and those around us. It's like the precious ointment. God poured out His Spirit on Jesus. You remember? Jesus is the head of the church. We're the body. Is that right? Do you remember when John, he said, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe latchet. Remember when John was down there by the River Jordan and he told Jesus, he said, I can't baptize you. I'm paraphrasing. He said, I have need to be baptized. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, that all righteousness will be fulfilled. And John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. You want to see a picture of the Trinity? Jesus is going under the water. The Father in heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of God, like a dove, comes upon the head. That's that anointing. You know what we need tonight? We need some more of that heavenly anointing. Amen. We need some anointed singing, some anointed preaching. Amen. We need some anointed soul winning. We need to be anointed of our Heavenly Father. Amen. That others might understand, beloved, their need of the gospel. Understand their need to be born again. So God poured out His Spirit on Jesus, the head. We see that in the baptism of John. But Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on the church, the body. You remember, He said, I say unto you, Romans 12:3, through the grace that's given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Listen tonight. Y'all have to bear with me for a while. But there are going to be many times I read that verse today. I just spoke to that man yesterday, Brother Steve, that you were acquainted with, neighbors with, and even worked with at one time, Brother Allen.
And I spoke to him about Brother Brian. And this is what I told him. I said, if you'd meet him on the street, if he walked up here today, I said, he was not one that would intimidate you with his knowledge. He was not one that would try to lift himself up here and keep you. I said, you'd never know. I said, you'd never know. How many knows I'm telling the truth? You know what I believe? I've never seen him one time think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I remember the early years here, Brother Grizzle, I couldn't even compliment the man. He didn't want to hear it. Amen? I'm just telling you that that's part of that ointment. Amen? The Bible said, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body, and every one members one of another. That's how tight God sees the church. Members one of another. I can't remember the text altogether, but does the hand say to the foot, I have no need of thee? Does the ear say that to the mouth? No. The body works in conjunction, one with another, to fulfill a purpose. Our purpose in the world is to glorify our Heavenly Father. And I'll tell you tonight, you don't have to study this Bible long or go very deep into it to understand that division does not glorify Him. Unity glorifies our Heavenly Father. Unity, beloved, is something that smells good. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus. Would you do that? Exodus chapter number 30, please. Exodus chapter number 30. I want to read a few verses of Scripture here tonight. We're talking about this ointment. And I think the word apothecary is going to be mentioned, where there's a mixture made. And the Bible said in chapter 30 and verse number 23, by the way, let me just back up a minute. It's a holy ointment. Did you hear what I said? It was not the people that got to choose the ingredients in the ointment. All they could do to please God was follow the directions. My brother hadn't been saved long. And he said, Rick, I've got to go. I said, where are you going? He said, I've got to read the directions. You know, there's a good application there. I'll guarantee you there's not too many men in this room that like reading the directions. We want to go ahead and put it together so we can go ahead and take it apart, so we can go ahead and read the directions and then go ahead and put it back together. Some of you nodding your head in agreement anyway. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm not even sure if a man can put today's bicycles together without directions. And you sure can't work on a car the way you used to be able to. It's holy. The Word of God, just give you a few passages of Scripture quickly before we go to Exodus chapter number 30. The Word of God mentions a pure heart three times. I found that amazing that only three times in the Word of God do you have the phrase pure heart. I figured it would be in there a lot more. There were several just come to my mind. And in Psalm chapter 24, he said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. 1 Timothy 1 and 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. And then 1 Peter said, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you see where this unity comes from? It's not something we can muster up. God puts a love down in our heart. Brother Steve, you mentioned a while ago, and I'm not being critical, but brother, I love to be at church. And when I wasn't the pastor, you can ask my wife. We didn't sit at home on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. When I was a missionary all those years, we were somewhere in the house of God when I wasn't in prison. I'll say that on the tape and then let them go figure it out. And when I was in prison, my family was in the house of God, sitting under a pastor that loved us and instructed us from the Word of God. In other words, it's not something somebody has to tell me to do. It's something I want to do. It's something God put in my heart. And it's hard for me to understand otherwise. Watch this now. And we said a while ago in 1 John, talking about that love, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is the Christ born of God, everyone that loveth him that begot. If you love the Father, you'll love the Father's children. You love those that are begotten of him. I want you to understand tonight that this ointment that was poured upon Aaron's head and his sons, it has to do, and we'll get to it a little bit later, with the priesthood. You didn't pour it on just anybody. And beloved, let me just say this. God won't pour his Spirit on just anybody. A person has to come to Calvary. A person has to come to places, Brother Mitchell said, where he takes God, sides with God against himself. A person has to humble himself under the mighty hand of God. A person has to admit he has a need. A person has to come empty in order to leave full. He has to come guilty in order to leave forgiven. He has to come dirty in order to leave clean. I'm glad I can remember that in my life. Never felt so clean in all my life. I used to weld for a living, and it's one of the nastiest jobs when you use a grinder and you weld. There's smoke and grinding dust, and there were times I just couldn't wait to get home and get those clothes off and get in the shower, get on some clean clothes. And I tell you, beloved, listen, I knew well how to clean the outside up. But there was a mess on the inside that I didn't have the answer for. But thank God, that's why he shed his blood, so he could wash me on the inside. It's a composition that's given by God. God gives the directions. Look at verse 23 with me in Exodus chapter 30. I want you to notice over and over the word sweet. There's an odor. There's a smell. Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and a sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and a cassia, 500 shekels, and after the shekel of the sanctuary, and an olive oil, of olive oil a hin. Thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound, after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. What I'm trying to tell you is, in Psalm 133, these people that are singing this, going up to Jerusalem to worship, they understood these instructions in Exodus. They understood the purpose behind it. They understood the priesthood behind it. They understood the power of God behind what they were singing about. The Bible said here, and the table and all his vessels, verse 26, thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony. You know, I never thought about it. But, beloved, when they were traveling in the wilderness, oh, hallelujah, ain't that a good thought? If the tabernacle's anointed and the furniture's anointed, aren't you glad? Thank God, amen. Even in the wilderness, there was a sweet savor, a reminder that we're not always going to be in the wilderness. There is a promised land for the children of God. The table and all its vessels, the candlestick, its vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, the laver and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them. That means set them apart. They were not for the use of the world. They were for the use of God among his people, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may be minister unto me in the priest's office. Do you understand, when we come to the altar, if we stay at our seat, we bow our head, we get up in the morning, we bow our knee, we pray to the God of heaven. Do you understand, beloved, that apart from this anointing, the Spirit of God, nothing, beloved, that the priest down here says, and we are a holy priesthood, gets to the other side. And here, the word of God said, they shall speak unto the children of Israel. Thou, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Watch this. I tell you, God spoke to my heart. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it. I wonder something. I wonder, even in the days of the children of Israel, if there wasn't some trying to imitate what was real. He said, don't make any other like it. Neither shall you make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. I'm just trying to get us a picture tonight as they go up to Jerusalem. We're talking about unity, that the children of Israel understood that this unity come from the head down, that we have a priesthood tonight, not apart from that anointing, but because of that anointing, we can let our prayers be made known unto God. They also understood that it was very precious. If you go back to Psalm 133, the Bible said here, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. There was none like it anywhere else. God was the one that gave them the instructions. God was the one that helped them. It was not to be used just for a common use. It had a specific use. Boy, wouldn't it be good if every one of God's children realized that God has a specific purpose for your life, a specific use for your life. And he does. God didn't save you just to be saving somebody. I've said this for years. If God, the only reason he saved me to keep me out of hell, I believe he'd have knocked me in the head the day he saved me and took me on to heaven. He left me down here with a purpose. I'm glad I have a reason to get up in the morning. Amen. I'm glad I have a purpose. I was watching the news the other day, and boy, my heart was so saddened. I think the boy was 18 years old. He was a sports figure. He loved sports and just loved life. And through all of this, being separated from the school, being separated from everybody else, he took his life. His dad was on the news. He said, I just absolutely did not see. He said, I'm trying to warn parents. Beloved, listen, I'm telling you tonight, there are some in this country Beloved, that never look at both sides of any issue. They only look at the side that benefits them. And that is a terrible way to live. Amen. It's a composition that's very precious. Aaron and his sons were not allowed to minister without it. Think about that. They were not allowed to go in and do the office of the priesthood without that holy anointing oil. Our service to God tonight, listen, is not acceptable without it. That's why I'm thinking it was Paul who wrote in Corinthians, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, Paul the apostle said, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what charity's got to do with unity. Everything. Where there's no love, there's no unity. Where there's love, there's unity. Amen. I thank God tonight. I told you why I believe the Lord put it in my heart, just looking back over the last year. We could have been at each other's throat. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? I wish you'd do that. And it's not been that way. We've just been trying to feel our way through it. Here's the word, together. And I thank God for that. I thank Him for that. I praise Him for that. It's pictured tonight in Christ's love to mankind, this precious ointment. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to Psalm 45 and 7. And then the writer, we believe, is Paul in Hebrews chapter 1, repeats it. The psalmist said, Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. By the way, that's still true. I said that's still true. They're trying to pass an equality law right now, and that would be a first step to what I've been talking about for years. You can't stand in that pulpit and say that sodomy's wrong and adultery's wrong. You can't stand in that pulpit and say if it says male on the birth certificate that that's a male. Well, you know what God's men are going to do? They're going to keep standing in pulpits and say male and female created he them. They're going to keep standing in pulpits and say it is not right for a boy to be competing against a girl in junior high, high school, elementary school. Beloved, listen, the sports program, college, it has no business going on. It's not right. This Bible tells us, listen, and there's not a lady here that loves God that'll take offense to this, that the woman is the weaker vessel. And guess what? This Bible's right. Nowhere in this Bible do you find where a woman's supposed to be the head of the home. Nowhere. And people that love God are not offended by that. Amen. There are many that would love to have the head of the home back. Amen. To make those decisions. The Word of God. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. You know who that's talking about, don't you? That's talking about Jesus. Hebrews chapter number 1. I'm going to turn there and read a few verses. Read it in its context. I want you to see this. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1 with me for a moment tonight. It's 8 o'clock and I'm not believing it. But I am loving it. It's wonderful. Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to read this and we'll quit tonight. The Bible said here, God, who at sundry times, verse 1, in divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. And the Bible said, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast, here he's repeating the psalm, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. You see how important it is? A lot of people say the name of Jesus. They don't mind to mention Jesus. They don't mind to mention the Bible. But beloved, Jesus didn't start in a manger. Amen. The Word of God teaches us over and over and over that He's the Creator. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Beloved, we see tonight that there is not only in this scripture something to see, something to strive for, something to smell. I told you a while ago the phrase, pure heart, mentioned three times in the Bible. I got this on my heart today. I remember Miss Eve, Brother Garris, bringing this in one of our conferences when we were with Rock of Ages. I think at that time there was 135 missionary families with the Rock of Ages. And he brought a verse, Brother Steve, about being of one heart. In other words, we might be all over the country. Actually, we were all over the world. Some of our men were in South America. Some of them in Europe. All over the world. But listen, this little phrase, one heart. The Bible said all these men of war, this is 1 Chronicles 12:38, that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Beloved, you see that unity. 1 Chronicles 30 and verse 12. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of God. Jeremiah 32, 39, and I will give them one heart. That's the verse Brother Garris used. And one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them. Watch this. It ain't just good for us and their children after them. Oh, we should always be reminded, beloved, of who gets hurt the worst when unity is no more. Help me tonight, folks. I'm not fussing, I'm preaching. Amen. No wonder we're instructed to guard it, to keep the unity. Ezekiel 11, 19, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. And I will give them a heart of flesh. I'll guarantee you I'm not the only person in this building that had a hard heart before Jesus come along. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Here's the early church. And the multitude of them that believed were of, guess what the phrase is, one heart. No wonder thousands were getting saved. No wonder. I would just about venture to say that the world had never seen unity like they saw over people that were willing to be beaten for speaking the name of Christ. The gospel that was going forward in that day. The last thing in the message tonight, I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give it to you. Not only, beloved, tonight do we see in this chapter here, there's something to see, something to strive for, something here to smell, but there's something here that will sustain us. I'll give you this quickly and we'll go home. The Word of God said, let me turn back over to Psalm 133. Let's look at that last verse tonight. Just for a moment, I won't keep you long. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I don't have to tell you all this. You all know that dew is moisture. And you know that moisture, water, is absolutely necessary for life. As the dew of Hermon. I studied this out a little bit. Mount Hermon was to the north, 9,000 feet above sea level. In studying this, it was not uncommon for there to be snow in the winter, not uncommon for it to be cool in the summer. And they said it was not uncommon if you pitched a tent somewhere around Hermon that you'd get up the next morning and it would look, Brother David, as if it rained that night. That's how heavy, y'all have heard the phrase, a heavy dew or a heavy frost. That's how heavy the dew was. Mount Zion was to the south. Mount Zion was 2,400 feet above sea level. Mount Zion was hot and dry. And so what happened? What is the Bible speaking of? As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. You see, beloved, listen. There are people in the world that don't know anything about this life, don't know anything about this moisture, don't know anything about this holy anointing, don't know anything about this unity. Right now, while I'm preaching, somebody in Kingsport, they're trying to knock one another out. And their husband and wife, or dad and son, or dad and daughter. How many knows I'm telling it right? Some of them are under the influence of alcohol. Some of them are under the influence of drugs. Some of them are just under the influence of the flesh and the devil. But tonight, God says to us, the children of Israel understood this. Man, I tell you what, it's good to be under Mount Hermon where the dew falls, where there's some moisture. I appreciate the Lord tonight giving us a little place on this hill. We ought to be concerned about them down there where it's hot and where it's dry. And we ought to ask God to turn the dew up. Somebody say amen. I'm not talking about mountain dew. I'm talking about that holy dew. That dew that descended upon Mount Zion. I'm just glad you come tonight. I appreciate you being here.